What's up, hockey fans? It's one-on-one with Joe O'Donnell. You guessed it. Once again, I am Joe O'Donnell. Episode 2, ready to roll. My guest today will be Derek Lalonde, assistant coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning and a one-time member, the one-time head coach, of the Iowa Wild. Well, of course, Stanley Cup playoffs are now officially underway, sort of the field of 16. And boy, has the action been awesome. How about that 5-overtime game between the Lightning and the Blue Jackets in Game 1? At the time of this recording, they're on the ice in Game 2. But it's just one of the many things I'll talk about with Newsy Lalonde as we get into our interview with him in just a couple of minutes here on One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell. We'll have a mailbag coming up in our final segment as well, but just wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking about how great it is to have playoff hockey back. Absolutely loving the hours and hours of programming, of scheduling. I think the NHL did a great job, honestly, of scheduling some afternoon games. Now that the round robin's over, we're really into what we know as the Stanley Cup playoffs, the 16 wins it will take to have a team hoist the cup. And, you know, one of the failures in some people's eyes for, say, Major League Baseball when they return is just not enough day games. And you've got a lot of folks right now working from home, some folks quarantining for various reasons, etc. And so the NHL, I think, did a really nice job capitalizing on that, starting some of these games as early as noon Eastern. Today's action start at 3 p.m. Eastern. I think you're catching a very captive audience. And, you know, that's huge for the NHL to continue its growth. I've always been a big believer working in hockey for so long now that you've got to grow the game, not only the grassroots level, but marketing-wise, et cetera. You've got to get out in front of more eyeballs. And I truly believe that people who aren't hockey fans will become hockey fans if they watch, if they get to learn the game, if they learn about some of the stars in the game, some of the marquee players. But, you know, in a lot of ways as well, just get educated about the sport and watch playoff hockey, because there's nothing better than playoff hockey. I don't think that's a stretch. I think a lot of people that aren't even really hockey fans pay attention when the playoffs roll around. They realize that things are ratcheted up a notch, notch intensity-wise. And, you know, look no further than that 5-overtime game, Columbus and Tampa Bay, the other night. It averaged 755,000 viewers on NBC Sports. It was a 6.5-hour broadcast. The overtime portion of the game, which was just under 4 hours in length, averaged almost 1 million viewers. That's on average. And it peaked, viewership for that Columbus-Tampa Bay 5-overtime thriller, at 1.847 million viewers at the conclusion of that game. So, again, that's a lot of social media people tweeting, jumping on Facebook, commenting on the game. You're texting your buddies, man, I can't believe this game's still going on. And people flip it on. So it's great for the sport. This is, you know, it's a big reason why the National Hockey League, again, with this platform on NBC and taking the most of it, I think they have a lot to gain during this the bubble life in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, and trying to do things safely given the pandemic, trying to do things the right way and focusing on the safety of the staff members and the players and the media that are there. But at the same time, you got to take advantage of this opportunity for the National Hockey League. Great chance to grow the game, and those numbers from that Tampa-Columbus game the other night certainly jump out as far as being just a big opportunity for the NHL that they're taking advantage of. Of course, since our last episode, the Minnesota Wild have been bounced from the round robin play, falling to the Vancouver Canucks 3-1. They took game one, and the star of the night, maybe, or at least in some eyes, was Alex Stalock, our episode one guest, of course. Nailed that right on the head. He pitched a shutout, but boy, were games 2, 3, and 4 way different. Vancouver was the better team for large stretches of those games, and it just seemed like Minnesota, boy, if they could have gotten another goal 5-on-5 in one of those games, or if the power play had come through one more time or two more times in the series, what a different series that could have been. Certainly disappointing for Minnesota to play so well in game one and then come up empty as far as a win goes the rest of that best of five. Vancouver has moved on, and they've since taken a 1-0 lead over St. Louis in the first round of the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs. My thoughts on Minnesota just quickly, you know, I talked about it going into the series. I really was looking for some guys to take the next step. Jordan Greenway, Joel Eriksson-Ek, Luke Kunin. Those guys, unfortunately, didn't find the score sheet much. Kunin had a shorthanded goal. Eriksson-Ek scored as well. It was great to see Nico Sturm get an opportunity in games 3 and 4, including his first ever National Hockey League goal in game 4, a playoff goal, no less. It gave Minnesota a lead late in the second period. But then the early overtime stunner by the Canucks in Game 4 ending the Wild season. So I guess a little disappointment that some of the big names, Parisi, Staal, etc., just weren't able to produce. I don't think that's an overstatement by any means. You count on those guys. Their track records tell you that they can produce this time of year. They've had great, really unbelievable NHL careers, and certainly had to be frustrating for Minnesota just to not be able to find the back of the net with more consistency in the four-game series, the 3-1 loss to the Vancouver Canucks. But now the first offseason for GM Bill Guerin, and Michael Russo from The Athletic has done a nice piece, talked with Guerin for his podcast, Straight from the Source with Michael Russo. And Guerin was very forthcoming and honest about the state of the Minnesota Wild. We do know they'll have the 9th overall pick. As the New York Rangers won the draft lottery, Minnesota will pick 9th this year. They will not get the Pittsburgh Penguins first-round pick until 2021. Penguins electing to keep their pick this year. Next year, though, that's an unprotected pick. So the possibility of 2 first-round picks next year for Minnesota. But in this upcoming October draft, Minnesota will draft 9th. Could get a great player. Organization and Bill Guerin being open about the fact that a top-line center would be nice for this for the Minnesota organization to add. So definitely some intrigue with the draft approaching for Minnesota, and of course free agency as well once the Stanley Cup is handed out in October. And then the other part of it, of course, is Kirill Kaprizov. 5th round pick a few years back. He's been playing in Russia. His highlight reels have made their way over to the U.S. through social media, etc., and YouTube. And he's a goal-scoring machine, especially in Russia's top league. He had a great showing in the Olympics despite, you know, being underaged, if you will, compared to a lot of the guys he was competing against. So Kirill Kaprizov will join Minnesota next season. And if he can chip in 20, 25 goals as a rookie, I don't think that's too much to ask given his scoring ability. There'll be an adjustment period for sure. But adding a guy like Kaprizov to the mix will certainly give Minnesota a little bit more of some dynamic playmaking and goal-scoring ability up front as they head into next season. All right, quick break. When we come back, we'll chat with Derek Alone, Tampa Bay Lightning assistant coach, former bench boss of the Iowa Wild. But first, I want to remind you that today's episode is presented by Windstar Lines. They are the official bus transportation provider for the Iowa Wild. Anytime we're on the bus, we're taking Windstar. They have sleeper buses. They have mini buses, motor coaches, vans. If you've got a group that's looking to travel, if you've got a sports team or your children or on a youth team and they're looking for bus travel, I recommend you to Windstar Lines. They're dependable. They're reliable. They've been a great partner of the Iowa Wild. And like I said, they pretty much get the team everywhere. And right now, the motor coach industry, like a lot of industries, really struggling. And they're looking to get some federal funding to try and some of these, you know, companies to stay afloat, quite frankly. So, again, I urge you to support all the Iowa Wild sponsors that you can. Or thanks to Windstar Lines for bringing you Episode 2 of One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell. Quick break here as we'll promote Anchor.fm quickly, and then Derek Alone from the Tampa Bay Lightning will be my guest. Back here on One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell, my guest today is Tampa Bay Lightning assistant coach Derek Newsy Lalone, one-time bench boss of your Iowa Wild. Newsy, did you get any rest after a 5 overtime game?
I didn't. I was shockingly and sadly, I have to admit, I was physically fatigued. especially after watching the guys, I feel embarrassed to say that. but yeah, there was some mental fatigue to it. It was just probably didn't appreciate. I probably won't appreciate being part of that until down the road, because obviously it's only game one, and we still have a lot in front of us. But it was quite an experience. There was a lot of things that went on. In that time, and I give our guys a ton of credit to pull it off. It was exciting.
Now, given the history between the Lightning and the Blue Jackets from last year and that disappointment there, and then to have to grind it out like that just to get a game one win, what do you feel like it says about your group and maybe some growth in a good way? You obviously have a lot of talent and skill, but certain times you got to play a different way in the playoffs. Is that fair?
That is exactly bang on. And that's a great question and great insight, because, you know, we felt all those emotions. There was definitely some exercising some demons there. I think we handled it well. There's no doubt. Obviously, when you get to this point in the season, anyone's a tough opponent. But just the matchup in itself with Columbus, and even the way it played out, you know, we give the guys a game plan, and here they go they score 3 minutes in on a wide shot off someone's glove. You know, you can feel a little tension on the bench with the guys. And then we trail the team like that going into the third, which is not easy to do. And I give our guys a ton of credit to fight through it and find a way to get us in position to win. There was some growth there. I know we did have a plan offensively, and a lot of that is being patient. That it's just they're going to block shots. They're not going to get looks at times. They're going to just their style of play. And a year ago, we didn't handle it well. And I think this is a really good step forward for us. It's only game one, but we stayed patient. We stayed with it. And I think we got what we deserved. You know, after the game, our analytic team tells us we had the puck 65% of the game. We outchanced them more than 2-1. We hung in there and found a way to win a crazy hockey game.
What's the mood like on the bench as that game moves along? Is it loose? Are guys just too tired to even stay loose and energetic? What's that like?
I think it changed as it went on. You know, there was just that typical playoff tension. I mean, I'm watching Boston, Carolina right now, and they're going through their first overtime. And, you know, we have a message after regulation, stick to the game plan, you know, don't sacrifice defense for offense. Don't give them anything easy. And then we probably had the same message after the second overtime. Then as it moved on, like in our third and fourth intermission, we didn't have anyone in the room. Guys were getting IVs. Guys were getting recovery drinks. Guys were getting worked on. We almost turned it into, I wouldn't say humorous, but we wanted to keep it light. You know, we were joking about a day off the next day. We were joking about if we could have got a better pre-scout from our darn goalie coach, this would have been over long ago. You know, just some general conversation. Anyone ever been in a game like this? So they kept it loose. I give our guys credit because Columbus is an unbelievable tough opponent in that they're so committed to their structure, but they have such superstar difference makers and Dubois and Jones and Werenski. Like you give them something, it'll end up in the back of the net. And they're just so comfortable with giving up zone time, giving up chances against and just countering. And, you know, you kind of thinking as a coach, you're it's human nature just to continue to look forward. And, you know, the whole time I'm like, just, God, this would be a tough loss for us. Cause they've done everything we've asked of us. And Columbus just looks so comfortable in a game like that. So, again, a really good win for us and a good job by our guys.
What was the celebration like?
Probably a little relief, because now once you get into the fifth overtime, really both teams deserve to win. And obviously we felt we had the better of the chances. We had the zone time. Like everything was pointing for us. You know, we got an email this morning. The expected the new wave in analytics is expected goals for, and ours was almost around 9.
Wow.
And basically our analytics team said, not only did you get an unbelievable goalie performance, he was lucky too. And we only gave up 19 chances on a hole almost through, like, those are really promising stats for us. So it got to a point where just what would have happened if we didn't win that. And it's just, so so I think when we did finally score, I think obviously it was a little excitement, but a little relief too. So it was exciting. Guys obviously were very fired up.
Chatting here with Tampa Bay Lightning assistant coach Derek Alone, one-on-one with Joe O'Donnell here on many of your podcast platforms. How much behind the scenes stuff goes into a game like that? The equipment guys, the trainers, you mentioned all the treatment done in between overtimes. I'm sure the PR staff and the team services people are pushing meals back and all those things. Like, nobody sees that stuff. Was it all hands on deck?
Were they all hands on deck and then some? And I've been through a couple of these, maybe in junior, even in college, and nothing of this length, but you know, those things aren't taken care of. Like I remember in college going through a long overtime, we literally had to order guys pizza, just give them something.
Yeah.
Obviously a different world and a different budget approach here, but absolutely. We had every trainer, every doctor on board helping with the guys, and basically their locker room's probably no different. Any other doctor or medical support staff available through the league. It's amazing. Once the Boston game got canceled, it's like two more doctors came over.
Right.
So it was that, it was a crazy scene. A huge credit to our support staff and the trainers of keeping the guys hydrated and fueled. And, you know, during the overtimes, our equipment guys just radioing back, Gore needs a drink with this and this and this. Point needs this, this, and this, and just rifling on the bench and trying to give our guys the best chance possible.
Well, congratulations on the win. How has Toronto, the Eastern Conference bubble, treated you guys overall? What's the setup been like?
It's been great. A huge credit to the league. Obviously, you're probably a little familiar with being in the Minnesota organizations and some contacts you have there. It sounds like the Hotel X, you know, the five top Eastern Conference teams, was, we may have lucked out, you know, just the layout of the hotel. It sounds like our bubble is a little bit bigger, including BMO. Obviously, we have five, six restaurants for just five teams here. We've got the water over our shoulder. It's great job by the league, but this has been really comfortable. It's been really unique experience. It's something I probably won't appreciate until sometime down the road. But, you know, one thing I expected, you know, guys be hanging out, but it was nothing to see superstar A having a beer with superstar B, and this superstar that you thought hated this superstar laughing in the hallway, you know, running into, you know, our rivals and, hey, how you doing? And it's just, I think it's more of a competitiveness on the ice. There's probably some fans would be disappointed that the actual true hatred isn't there, but it's been neat. It's probably going to be a mental battle towards this if this keeps going on. For us personally, you know, we only played the one preseason game for the first 8 days, and then we had the three round-robin games. And those were intense games, but they were not – you know, I left some of those games thinking, you know, I felt about 80%. And then I would sit back and watch Toronto – and Columbus, I'm like, wow, we have some work to do. This is more intense of what we just experienced, and even watching some of the West, those play-in games. So it was a really unique experience. I think we'll get, now we're playing every other day, we'll get more of our routine. I think it'll just be a little more focused on the hockey.
Last couple of years, you've been with Tampa, and obviously leaving the Iowa Wild, as we talked about at the time, is a difficult decision for you and your family, but the NHL was calling, and a great opportunity for you to get reunited in some ways with John Cooper in Tampa. But what was the biggest adjustment when you started coaching the likes of a Stamkos and a Kucherov and those different personalities, guys that are making a lot more money and guys that have Stanley Cups on their resume or, you know, scoring titles on their resume? Does it change things as a coach?
It does. It's a great question. And you probably have some experience. Obviously you spent some time with the big club this year, and obviously the years you are in the American Hockey League. To me, the biggest thing here that I've experienced, it's this, of any league I've ever coached, this is a true partnership. Yes, guys want to be held accountable. Yes, they want to be coached, but it's just been different. You have, like, Steven Stamkos, Victor Hedman, and Nikita Kucherov, and Andrei Vasilevskiy are going to outlast anyone in our coaching staff. That's just the reality of the sport. And it's a partnership. You have to get the most out of them, but you have to work with them. Even at the American Hockey League level, someone's not playing to their standard. I'm not going to say you can hold it. There's a different accountability towards them. They still need you in a lot of ways. And they need you at this level, but it's a little bit different. So, you know, that was a huge experience in itself and a good one. And obviously being around Todd Richards and John Cooper with a ton of mental experience and Jeff Halperin, who's almost played 1,000 games, really helped me out. And then me personally, it was just, I'd been a head coach for almost a decade. So just the fact that, you know, to sit back and just take it in and do what I can for the head coach, and I wouldn't say get in the way, but there's times I want to get last word in. I want to bring clarity to the head coach instead of any confusion. So it was an unbelievable experience. It's what I was looking for. It was a tough decision. I loved Iowa. We were making some great progress there. It's been exciting to see the success they've had over the last couple of years, because like the one thing that hasn't been different both organizations is the ownership. And both the Minnesota ownership and Tampa are known around the league as two of the best, and I've been fortunate enough to experience that, and that's been true.
What's made John Cooper so successful in his career at the NHL level?
Probably that, just what I talked about, that partnership. He's got an unbelievable feel where, you know, I think you're seeing that tyrant-type coach where he's hard on guys, and I think he holds guys accountable. He'll be hard on guys in their own way, but it's a partnership too. I have such respect in watching competing against John Tortorella, and, you know, people call him an old school coach. It's amazing. You know, some of his tactics almost got him out of hockey.
Right.
But the thing with John and people in our organization have obviously worked for him, and players have worked for him. He still genuinely cares about the guys. So when he's, you know, publicly yelling at Dubois on the bench and it gets media everywhere, Dubois will allow him to do that because I guarantee you they've had closed doors where he's hugged him, he's cared about him. The one thing I keep hearing out of the Columbus room is he genuinely cares about the guys. And I think Coop has that same approach where the guys know he has their back. Yes, he's going to be hard on them. Yes, he's going to hold over ice time and get the most out of them. And there's some uncomfortable moments and conversations, but that balance of holding them accountable, but caring for them as people too. And then that's been a great experience for me to watch.
My guest today, Derek Alone, the assistant coach for the Tampa Bay Lightning, here on One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell. Newsy, real quick, I know we've just got a couple more minutes with you, but I want to ask you about your stint in Iowa for a couple of years as the head coach. And you mentioned falling just short of the playoffs, but really making some growth on, you know, for a franchise that has struggled its first years in the AHL. How important was the stepping stone of Des Moines, the community there? Your kids were playing youth hockey there, all those things that go into making a town home for a couple of years. How important was, you know, the Wild organization to your career looking back on it?
It was a huge step. Well, first, it was appreciated Chuck and Flaherty giving me an opportunity as a head coach in the American Hockey League. Those are very tough opportunities to come across. Knew it was going to be a rebuild and a challenge. You know, you and I still laugh at this. I remember coming in for that press conference, and everyone's like, oh, good luck. I mean, the security guy, the ticket person, we're awful. We're bad. Can you help us in some ways? And just to have that momentum of that first winning season and to get the guys taste, so you can see the excitement and the fan bases as the crowd started to grow with more important games, and to see them complete the task in Tim's first year and into his second year and the excitement of it. And, you know, generally the Manels and the Mayhews and the Sam Anasas, seeing the growth of those guys, where, you know, there's some nights in my first, I probably shouldn't have played them because they weren't ready to play in the American Hockey League. It was almost a step back for some team success, for some individual growth. And now to see that come full circle has been just unbelievable to watch. And even the growth of, you know, watching Brett McLean as a coach, and I feel part of it in some ways. That's exciting. That's why you take those type of jobs. You always want to try to improve something and make it work. And it was an unbelievable experience there.
How's your family doing?
Awesome. They're great. We had the whole emotions of the COVID experience, where Florida and our Tampa area, when the rest of the country was getting hit, we had almost nothing. And we probably opened up too early to being as an epicenter of it. And we're probably no different than any other family. It wasn't easy, but an unbelievable opportunity to reconnect and spend some time together. And it was awesome. So they're doing great. They love Tampa. Life's pretty good right now, Joe.
Luke and AJ are still up to their usual, I guess, tricks.
Yeah, up to their antics. Both great hockey experiences. The hockey's a little different down here. They love their school. Alex will be entering high school, Jesuit High School, his first year. He started the other day. So it's always hard in our profession. I know you've seen guys come in and out. You've done it with your family yourself. Moving is never easy. And I feel very fortunate that the Des Moines to Tampa was seamless and great. And you've experienced firsthand Des Moines, it's a quality of life that's hard to match. And people that aren't from there don't understand it. You know, I could have been there for 30 more years just for the quality of life. And so it was hard for us to take the family out of it, but it was reality. And thank God it was seamless going to Tampa.
I got two more hockey questions for you real quick here as we chat with Derek Alone of the Tampa Bay Lightning on one-on-one with Joe O'Donnell. The level of play you talked about now having experienced a real first-round series game, not a round-robin game. You've talked about the intensity you've seen watching other games. Where do you feel the players are at as far as comparing it to – you know, last year's playoffs or a regular season? I mean, athletically, are they up to speed?
I think so. I think a lot of that is a credit to today's athlete. I think a little of that was the unknown in the pause where we didn't know when the season would restart. I know our general manager did an unbelievable job of keeping us positive and upbeat that, hey, we are going to be playing. And we felt confident that we were going to be playing because, you know, that's what's coming from the NHL front office. So I think guys took the off season or that pause very serious, even a little different than they probably would have a regular off season. So I was pretty happily surprised and impressed when we started that phase two into phase three of where the guys were. And I'm guessing that was probably mostly around the league and hence why it's been such a quality of play and everyone got the bodies back. I know, which a lot of teams had the luxury of having some injuries heal and full rosters now. And it's led to some great hockey. I know that, you know, I was watching the Minnesota Vancouver series start to finish with some personal interest with, you know, working some of those guys and rooting for that for many. That was an unbelievable intense series in itself too. So I think it's a credit to our guys of how they hit the ground running.
Lastly, give us one story from yesterday's five overtime marathon of a game that you won't think you'll forget anytime soon. A moment, a joke, something on the bench, or just something that happened. You're gonna one of those things you just won't forget.
Well, probably Brain Point. He's such a good kid. He's such a regular person. He's just such a normal kid. He's just so I came in after the fourth overtime before Coop came in, and I'm like, good news pointer. I just talked the staff into giving you a day off tomorrow, and it gave a chuckle to the guys. And then Coop comes in laughing too, and he ended it with, "If you guys win, you're getting a day off tomorrow." And so Pointer was all over me. He's like, "Newsy, you lied to me. Like, you didn't do anything for us." And we just had a laugh about it. And then he finishes it off in overtime. And we had a chuckle. Are you sure about that day off tomorrow, Newsy? So we just had a little chuckle. So that's one thing. But, you know, I probably will appreciate being part of that. You know, we're still in the process. We're still trying. That's our first, as much success as we've had in 2 years, that's still our first playoff win.
Right.
In 2 years, we have a lot of work to do. So it's kind of been staying on task and looking forward to the next game, but it's probably something I'll appreciate being part of down the road.
Well, rest up. Appreciate you taking some time for us today. Good luck in the pursuit of the Stanley Cup.
Anytime, Joe. Best to your family. Best to everyone back in that Iowa Wild organization.
That's Derek Alone, Tampa Bay Lightning assistant coach. Newsy, thanks again, bud.
You got it. Thanks, bud.
Great catching up there with Derek Lalonde, a.k.a. Newsy Lalonde, assistant coach for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I really want to thank him again for joining me here on one-on-one with Joe O'Donnell, considering he's in the bubble right in the middle of the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs. They had a day off after that five overtime thriller, so it was certainly nice to catch up with him and for him to carve out some time for me as well. Always a great conversation there. Hope you enjoyed it. All right, final segment here before episode two wraps up, and it's time for the first ever mailbag, if you will, taking some Twitter questions at Wild Joe Radio. Appreciate everybody that fired off some questions my way earlier today, and try and get to a couple of them here for sure. Ton Squad 42 asking, how rough will it be at the draft to take the best overall player over needed center, or does Bill Guerin take the next best center? Touched on this just a little bit earlier. again, from what we've learned through a guy like Michael Russo from The Athletic, Bill Guerin admitting firsthand that Minnesota could use a top-line center. You take a guy ninth overall, you're probably not expecting him to be a top-line center immediately, but your hope is down the line a top-10 player, of course, contributes and becomes an all-star and all those sorts of things. I would think that Minnesota would lean the way of the center ice position with the ninth overall pick, and if that player has to spend another year in junior or a year in college or 2 years in college, whatever, maybe a couple years in the American Hockey League with the Iowa Wild, and then be a guy that can slot in maybe in the second or third line center position. You know, you got to project sometimes these kids, you're drafting them, you know, 16, 17 years old. They're going to play a couple years of junior hockey, a couple years in the minors. But you would think that, you know, 5-6 years after you draft them, that they're ready to make an impact, certainly at the AHL level, and then, of course, the NHL level. So I think the Wild will lean towards a center ice position, especially having a top 10 selection. And so I don't think it'll be a tough decision to go center over best player available, again, because of the lack at the center ice position. And that's coming right from the mouth of Bill Guerin, Minnesota GM. So appreciate the question there. My boy Sean Roberts from KXNO, at Sean23Roberts, Hawks going to upset the Knights, right? Yeah, I don't know, Shawnee Roberts. I don't think the Blackhawks have enough. Vegas too deep. I did a lot of research on that series before it started. And a lot of the pundits think that Las Vegas will win as well. And the Golden Knights did take game one. So Blackhawks, great story. Ousting Edmonton, being the 12 seed, getting into the real playoffs, the first round, if you will. I just think that Vegas is a tough matchup. Boy, they come at you in waves. They're deep at every position. They just got Max Pacioretty back off the injured list. Unless Robin Lehner or Marc-Andre Fleury really falter, I think Vegas wins that series. Great question here from chatted with him earlier. Great question here from Derek Felska on sort of the rapid-fire nature, the scheduling, the current playoff scheduling, and I also touched on this a little bit earlier here on episode two as well, and that's, you know, starting some of these games earlier, playing back-to-back in each bubble. So you've got, you know, a game and then 45 minutes for ice maintenance and then warm-ups and then the next game. And he said, do you think the league should consider that in the future, sort of this rapid-fire nature of the scheduling, or don't you think it's a good thing? I've loved it. I think hockey fans have loved it. And again, if you can get some playoff hockey on during the daytime, you know, especially now given the circumstances, I think it's been a great thing. Will the NHL do something similar in the future, maybe starting games earlier on a Saturday or Sunday and trying to have, you know, six games a day? I think it's something they consider, but I really think this has worked out well given everything that's going on because of, you know, again, the scenarios that have been laid out for everybody and the craziness of what we've been going through the last couple months. So they're taking advantage and making the most of a tough situation. I don't know, though, Derek. I guess only time will tell, but I would like to see them incorporate some more day games and sort of this back-to-back-to-back, you know, hockey all day long. I mean, I don't see why they couldn't give it a whirl in the future. It's certainly been fun for us hardcore hockey fans. Crafty, Brother Crafty asks, are the finals played in split locations or just one building? I could be wrong here at Brother Crafty on Twitter, but I'm pretty sure that Edmonton has been chosen as the lone hub city for the conference finals and the Stanley Cup finals. Okay, so anyway, great. Appreciate all the questions there on the mailbag. Had a question as well that came in about the ice conditions and how they're trying to keep it maintenance properly, but they've got the best in the world working on it. So at times, I'm sure in the third periods or second periods of games, there's been a little bit of some rough ice, some bumps, some divots in there, but for the most part, they're getting time between games to flood the ice and work on it, and they've got the best Zamboni scientists in the world, if you will, working on the ice to make sure that the players have their best chance to execute at a high level. Again, episode two of the books. Appreciate everybody that tuned in here today. Again, my thanks to Derek Alone for joining me. Thanks to Windstar Lines for being our sponsor of episode two. I will urge you, please, to subscribe, to rate, to review the podcast now on Apple Podcasts. You can get this on Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts, including Anchor.fm. You can find One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell. Please spread the love. Pass it along. I appreciate all the support. Looking to try and get some more listeners and followers out there and hopefully some bigger guests down the line as well. Again, my thanks to Derek Lalonde of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Hope you all are enjoying the Stanley Cup playoffs. Until the next episode, don't forget, still your trade table is in upright lock position. Episode 2 coming in for landing. This is One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell. I am Joe O'Donnell. Thanks for tuning in. Till next time, have a good one.